This audio is brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your local agent and good neighbour. Alicia has got you covered with personalised service and reliable coverage for all your insurance needs. Call or stop by her office on Hart Street in Buffalo and see how she can help you save and protect what matters most to you. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
Good morning, it's 9 o'clock. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioners, the minutes from the 7th of January were circulated. Were there any additions, corrections, or substitutions?
No. I'd move to approve the minutes from January 7th, 2021, that's from Senate.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I'd like to welcome up our distinguished sheriff for a MOU with the Wyoming Department of Criminal Investigation.
Morning, commissioners. Chairman Novotny, we just have an MOU that with DCI to supply a new fingerprint machine for the jail. I think our one now is 7 years old. It's a no money MOU. We pay for the maintenance of the fingerprint machine, but it sounds like they may cover the maintenance for the first 3 years of the new machine. Barry has looked it over, gave the green light, so I just need to sign and we can get it to DCI.
Mr. Ruby, did you have any comments on the?
No. Sheriff Lindbaugh has worked with Barry about looking at it before Barry had to go down the legislature, so we're good to go on our side.
Rod, is this one of the fancy new digital that?
It is, yeah. But we have one of those now. But I think it's just timed out is what, not unlike a computer, maybe a little longer than a computer, but we're pretty fortunate that they supply that, so.
In terms of community interaction, what kind of services does the sheriff's office provide to the public with fingerprinting for like substitute teachers and other things?
Those would be, yes. So teachers, nursing, child care, concealed carry, criminal histories, and then anybody that comes in. I suppose that's community service too. But anybody that's booked into the jail, they also get fingerprinted. So, it gets used a lot. So,
are the, Mr. Chairman? Are the substitute teachers, nurses, whatever, are they charged a fee for using that?
Yeah, I think we raised it to like $5 or something. I can't remember. Maybe it's 10. I don't know for sure. We raised it a while back. So, I think it's $10 a card. But I'm not sure of that. We raised it from the previous one, so.
How much revenue does that bring into here?
I don't have a clue. Not a lot. Not. A lot of it, the concealed carry don't get charged. All of our inmates, of course, don't get charged. Anything that has to do with the courts, they don't get charged. I do not know that number off the top of my head, but it's not a lot.
Thank you. questions, commissioners?
Mr. Chairman, to approve the agreement between the Johnson County Sheriff's Office and the Wyoming Division of Criminal Investigation for a new fingerprint machine.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the MOU. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Any other questions?
No. Rod, we do appreciate feedback from the sheriffs and chiefs of police as they're considering legislation down there, and we encourage you to please stay in contact with Barry and Marilyn as stuff comes up. I know there was discussion about an immigration bill and some other things, so any thoughts you might have?
Yeah, so pretty impressed with both Barry and Marilyn. We've been in pretty constant contact, and they've also been working with Marilyn, with Alan Thompson down there too, so the communication is really good between us right now, so we're doing what we can, but yeah, we'll see how it rattles out. Anything else? Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sheriff. All right, I'd like to welcome our extension youth specialist and also our extension educator up to give a University of Wyoming Extension year review. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. We brought show and tell this morning.
I love show and tell.
Thank you.
Have an extra copy of the year review.
The other packet.
Yes.
Thank you.
You want me to start them off?
Go for it.
Okay, so on the 4-H side, good morning. You guys will see two different packets. There's the year in review that we'll discuss this morning, and then there's a welcome to Johnson County 4-H. That's the packet that all of our first year introductory families get from us. Gives them a little more of who we are, what to expect at 4-H events, and kind of a little bit more in-depth look at some state-level policies for you guys. We'll dive into the year in review, though, for today. That little packet, you can see on the cover there, that is at the youth camp. That's one of our favorite events of the year. Again, we're hitting 50-plus kids that come up to that mountain camp every year, so that's kind of a fun one for us. But it's on that second page there. You'll see our 2024 membership. We closed the year with 326 members. I have an asterisk there. There's more in our Z-Suite system, but those are active members. So those are kids that actively participate in 4-H and do something here at the county level. We have 83 adult volunteers who've been screened and trained to work with these kids. 20 of them work with those shooting sports kids. We have 110 youth that shoot with us through the year. We start that season actually tonight. We start with our safety meeting to start our indoor season here this next week. So that project is about to get going. We, of course, have the building going along. That thing is, by the end of this week, I think the shell will be up and complete, roof and all. So that's a very, very exciting thing that there's a chance that we'll be in that thing at the end of our spring season there. Kind of the end of March is what we're hoping, fingers crossed, knocked on wood. But so then our enrollments there, you can kind of see that shooting sports, I highlight that one because there's 110 kids that do that through the year. We have 96 kids that participate in the swine project. And then our third highest, I put an asterisk there, is that sheep project. That's kind of a cool, fun fact for us as the traditionalist here in Johnson County of the sheep families. That's still a very strong component of what we do. Our fastest growing projects, we have 35 kids that come out and shoot black powder with us. That's kind of a neat thing that we have over 17 black powder guns now that kids are shooting. So kind of a fun thing. Dog project, that one has come back the last couple years. We're showing over 25 dogs at the county fair now. So that's a fun one if anybody ever gets a chance to come out. Clover Buds, we have 21 kids, and that's between Claremont, Arvada, KC, and Buffalo. We cover 21 kids that are 5 to 7, so they're not quite in that 4-H category. But that is very neat number. We're graduating about 12 to 20 is kind of our average span of kids that we graduate out of the program every year. So if we can keep that clover bud number around that same mark, that gives us replenishment in that program of when we graduate those kids out to keep those numbers there. And then STEM, that's kind of the new trend, and a lot of our kids are going that way. That we have 19 kids that are actively in those projects. That's robotics, Lego, science, technology, engineering, and math, and health is also in there, those health sciences. You can see there's a picture there. They're in the kitchen at the community building. That is our tri-tip fundraiser. This last year, we, thanks to the community here, we garnered over $10,000 of just a one-night drive-through dinner. That's just an incredible thing that we could sell one meal and make $10,000 for the 4-H youth here in Johnson County. So big testament to the folks that we get to serve and the clientele that we get to be friends with here. So next page, there's some community service. There's some that have some asterisks that I like to highlight, like the Wyoming Hunger Initiative, the Fair to Fork program. Tate Bassett was this year's recipient. Got to sell his pig to Jenny Gordon and donated his pig back to the food bank in Claremont. And so that's kind of a neat thing. They were out of meat and were really in need of it. And so it was just perfect timing. That's a really neat one that every year we have a kid that signs up for that and gets to sell one of those extra pigs that he gets to show. So, and then the Christmas Kids Shop. FFA stepped down from doing the Christmas Kids Shop, and 4-H said, we're going to take that void and run with it. So we had a club step up and decide to run the Christmas Kids Shop, and we served as a drop-off location at the extension office and helped make that event happen. So that was really fun that we got to, you know, provide that for some other kids that may not have been in 4-H. So then you can see down here at the bottom, we continue to develop and foster partnerships within the community. All these folks here are folks that we work with throughout the year on multiple different occasions for different things. Of course, you guys as the county commissioners, we work with you guys pretty closely. Johnson County School District, we use their facilities quite a bit, as well as provide that shotgun place for those kids to come shoot. So we do some fun things there. We just wanted to highlight that. The Yes Committee and Z-Bar Cabins are another couple outsiders that we like to highlight. The Yes Committee does a bunch of great things for awarding our kids at the county fair and supporting what they do as far as traveling for judging events. And then the Z-Bar Cabins, I like to highlight those guys. They continue to donate rooms for our judges at the county fair. Kind of one of those unsung heroes that do something for us that, you know, nobody maybe thinks of on the outside, but we sure appreciate them on our end. So, but so that's our quick year in review. It's a quick snapshot. Like I said, I threw that other packet in so that there's a little more depth for you of if you want to know a little more of 4-H and what we do kind of on a daily basis. So that is a snapshot of 4-H. Micah, you want to give them one of A&R?
Sure. Do you want to ask any questions of Bryce at this time or wait until the end? Trying to deflect any questions.
Bryce, off the top of your head, do you know how many kids are enrolled in school across the district?
I don't. I can tell you that the average, I think the last time we looked, the average school size in Buffalo or in Johnson County, average school size as a whole, I think was 312 on average. But that was the last time we looked.
And I just look at that, and obviously you also have our wonderful kids that are either at the Christian Academy, homeschool, all those other wonderful options for education. But I bet you probably have at least one third or one half of all school age kids in Johnson County are actively enrolled in 4-H and getting that enhancement.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
that was
incredible.
Yep, that was our fun fact last year was when we had 329, so we were within three active members of where we were last year. So that retention aspect is there for us, which is really cool. But we figured out there a couple years back that every one in three kids between ages of 5 and 18 in Johnson County were enrolled in 4-H. So if there's a group of three walking down the street downtown, there's probably one of them at least is in 4-H. So that's kind of cool. This year alone, we'll have, was it 20? We were at 21, but I think it's 20 now. We'll have 20 youth that are seniors in high school graduating that are still in 4-H and actively participating. So that's a really neat thing when those kids get to put 10 years of their life in with us in 4-H. So it's a fun thing.
Questions for Bryce, Joe?
Oh, very nice presentation. It's very interesting. Thank you.
You bet.
Keep it up. I'm excited to see the building coming up. I can't wait.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about that. Buffalo, Johnson County 4-H, Johnson County Extension, I should say, as a whole, is hosting the state shooting sports training, one of them this year. Last time we did was the COVID year because Johnson County was one of the few places that would host it. So we brought it back, so that'll be a fun one. We'll get a lot of our volunteers for shooting sports retrained. And Jim and I were talking. He stopped by the office here, and I was really hoping that, you know, we can start hosting that training in that facility. So that'll be kind of cool. That's what our fingers crossed is for that date. So it's exciting.
Thank you.
make it easy to walk out, and then when you go to your shooting side of that training, then it's just right there. That's going to be a great fit.
Yeah, and then logistics side for us on the 4-H end is going to save us so much. You know, like I said, we have, you know, 17 black powder rifles. We have numerous shotguns. I mean, we're pushing the 30 number in shotguns. We have, you know, all of that needs storage and a safe location. And if we can have it there without having to worry about transportation, we can take our safes out there and lock them up. I mean, just logistics side too, it just makes so much more sense. So,
excellent. Micah, let's switch to the other side of the house.
You bet. So on the agriculture and natural resources side, I feel like in 2024, I was finally able to get some long-form programming kicked off. I've been in the county coming on 3 years now, so finally starting to get my feet under myself and kind of get a grasp on some of the needs. Just a big picture kind of synopsis. I launched a Buffalo Beginner Gardener course that ran for 6 weeks the first part of last year, then rolled right into the pesticide recertification programs. Because of some gaps in staffing in our part of the state, I ended up covering 7 counties worth of pesticide research, which took a lot of my time and resources away from Johnson County. This year we've been staffed up again, and I've kind of held my boundary a little bit, so I'll just be in Johnson County and Sheridan County doing those. Then we got into the growing season, and that keeps me busy with calls from ranchers and gardeners and doing property visits, site visits, answering questions about, you know, diseases on plants and insects that people are finding and that kind of thing, some of those smaller questions. Then during county fair, I am in the fair office helping run the ShowWork software, which is the computer program that runs everything from project entry all the way through the livestock sale on Saturday night. Everything runs through that ShowWorks program, and it's a pretty big lift. It takes a team of several of us to keep all of that going. And then late August, we know the fire happened, and pretty much all of my efforts for the rest of the year was focused on supporting the fire recovery effort. I participated in the fire relief fund activities, the volunteer meetings, served on the producer advocacy committee, and then also on the subcommittee of the Johnson County Communities Foundation that handled all of the fund receival and then the applications that were reviewed and funds that are to be awarded very, very shortly. So other than that, I stayed busy with Sheep Task Force activities. I serve in a kind of a leadership capacity there that provides statewide programming. We've produced some print materials, some virtual materials. We recorded a webinar and had some in-person programming at the wool growers state level meetings. I also want to point out the Wyoming Sheep and Wool Festival was in Thermopolis last year, but that'll be hosted here in Buffalo this year, July 11th to the 13th, out at the fairgrounds. And so that's going to be a huge opportunity to show off the history of sheep herding and the Basque culture and all of that wonderful, rich background that we have here in Johnson County for the rest of the state and even beyond our state lines. If you flip to the back, I threw a couple pictures on there as well, some highlights from the year. The Ashes to the Table dinner, of course, was fantastic, raised over $85,000 for the fire relief fund. We were able, in partnership with 4-H, or in service to 4-H, I guess, I helped support the honey beekeeping project area, and we got that kicked off again that had been dormant for a few years. So you'll see our community volunteer beekeeper, Jerry Osborne, with one of our 4-H'ers, and we had a great time all summer into the fall taking care of our bees and extracting honey. It was really a lot of fun, and I think we had at least five 4-H'ers participate in that activity with a lot of interest into this next year. And then I also was a recipient of an award from the University of Wyoming Extension at our annual meeting this fall, so wanted to highlight that as well. That was a big honor. And looking into this next year then, continuing to focus on building relationships with partners in the community. I work pretty closely with the conservation districts, the NRCS office, Wyoming State Forestry, Weed and Pest District, the library, among others. And so it's been really fun to see the kinds of things we can come up with when we work together, kind of multidisciplinary that way. And then always looking to improve my skills, my knowledge base, to meet the needs in the community. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions for Micah?
No, very nice. Thank you.
No.
I think our community really recognizes how much these contributors do in their office to the county, the people here. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I guess we're not alone. We are, of course, our admin, Donna mm-hmm. Nelson. She was awarded an extension award this year as well. She's the mm-hmm. Administrative Assistant of the Year of 2024 mm-hmm. For her efforts. Mm-hmm. So I don't think my first year or two on the job, I realized the capacity of things that she does for us as well in the office and the things that she does too. And so it was nice for her to get recognized for those things too.
I do want to point out, Bryce won this newer employee award last year. And so Bryce won that award, Donna won her award, and then I won it this year. So we're on a pretty good streak. I'm not sure we're going to be able to continue that for next year.
But we're going to try. But yeah, Johnson County yeah. Extension is pretty well respected in as far as at the state level. So yeah. We hope to maintain that outlook of that positive look that they have on our community and what we do. So.
Can't thank you guys enough, especially stepping up during the House Trail Fire, whether it was coordinating hay donations, just emphasizing mental health resources to our ag producers, gone well above and beyond your job description. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You guys. Thank you.
Kristen, do you want to bring out our Commissioner Barry, if you could come forward? And hope you brought a trailer.
I didn't.
Bob, we were sorry that this wasn't ready on your last day sitting behind the dais, but again, all things aside of working in the county, you really have become a friend and such an advocate for your constituents on the southern half of the county as well as folks up here. And so we just hope this flag that was flown over the Capitol by the governor for you can remember all of the good work that you did over your 8 years sitting on the commission. And also we realize that you're not by any means done or gone, and Sandy's maybe telling you to slow down just a little bit, but the things that you do to help with the Boys and Girls Club, when the golf course's parking lot was sinking, all those things where you just roll up your sleeve, you don't ask for credit or reimbursement or anything, and you just get things done for your community. So we're just so happy to give this to you. So Commissioner Perry, thank you.
Thank you. It's been an honor to serve the people of this community and the county. Everything that I've got, I can attribute to Johnson County, and county's treated me well, and it was my way of giving back a little bit. Thank you.
One of those fun 4-H facts, that's the first place I met the Perrys, when their daughter kicked my tail at the county fair every year with her dog Pooh.
Yeah, he wasn't fair. He was too darn smart. He was the smartest one in the family.
Anyway, we hope you enjoy that. We understand you're headed out on a vacation, so you can probably worry about hanging that when you get back, but I think that'll look hopefully good in that house up along Clear Creek.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob, for your service.
Yeah, thank you, Bob.
Thank you for stepping in, Steve.
Colonel. Adam Treasure.
My wife was supposed to dial my phone number.
Bob,
it's an inside joke.
On behalf of myself and my office, I want to give you a thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You have been a true pleasure to work with while you've been here, and we truly enjoy your company, and we really hope that you continue to come visit us, because it wouldn't be the same without you in our office.
Well, you guys start losing weight.
Just keep
no more
cooking.
Okay, well, I see by way of post office and invitations that there's a group of people that think that we still misappropriate money. They are unable to accept the fact that we have passed audits every year for the last 8 years that I know of for certain. So, keep up the good work.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Bob.
Take the elevator.
Yeah. You put this plastic on here so I can put that in my hand.
Do you need help?
No. Thank you.
Thank you.
We got it.
Okay.
I'm going to call.
Yeah. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Can we welcome up our representatives of the library? We got our director and also our board chair, who, along with the county attorney, have been working on the grant agreement for our KC library expansion.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Happy day. So we did finally get the agreement. And can you explain some of the questions you had on it?
Yeah, so Lindsay and I met last week. I think I scared her, but that was not my intention. But we went through a bunch of different stuff. On the grant, there was a few questions that I had that I was able to get cleared up with the Attorney General's office. There's a lot of things that are boilerplate. Because this is federal money, there's a lot of strings attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
One of my big concerns was to make sure that other counties in our state have done it and it has been successful. I was advised that had happened, that they had signed the contract that we have, or the grant agreement that we have, and that they've been able to get their money and there's not been any issues, and so it's worked well.
Mm-hmm.
I advise Lindsay we should come and speak to the commissioners just about, make sure that they're aware of the potential change in what their obligation might be. Talk about a few things about we have to front the money and then we get reimbursed. And so there has to be a way to payroll that or cash roll that. And then a couple things that Lindsay and I talked about. There was some wording in the contract that I did not like. Talking to the Attorney General's office, we were able to get most of those things changed. So the things that I didn't like specifically, I had a question about. We seem to be in the age of audits. So on page 6, there's a discussion of a federal audit requirement if you exceed a certain amount. Looking at the CFR, that amount is $1 million. Obviously, our project exceeds $1 million. I had a conversation with the Attorney General's office, and I said, hey, we do an audit every year. We have outside accountants that do this. Will that satisfy the obligation, the requirements that we have? And he advised that, yes, that would. And so I didn't want to have an additional other audit specifically for this, because that would be additional funds and additional resources we'd have to expend. And so that was a load off my mind to make sure that we were doing what we needed to do to comply with that, and that wouldn't be an additional issue. One other thing that Lindsay and I talked about on page 9, it talks about indemnification, that each party assumes their own risk, which we're fine with, assuming our own risk. But then there's a part farther down that talks about and that's in part. So M is indemnification, Q is patent and copyright protection, and it speaks about us indemnifying them on various things, which I pointed out to the Attorney General's office that I spoke to, the individual I spoke to. I said, well, that contradicts. We have one part that says that nobody indemnifies anybody, and then we have a part where we're indemnifying you. I was advised that that was just something that's in the contracts oftentimes. That will be removed. There's a couple other things that were a little unique about ownership and return of documents. We had a discussion about that. That's going to be changed, I think, more to our benefit. Lindsay and I talked about that a little bit. And then finally, the most concerning thing to me was, it's on page 10, part W, it's termination of the agreement. It says in here that This agreement may be terminated without cause by the Wyoming State Library upon 30 days written notice. I didn't like that provision. It's a pretty big commitment by Johnson County. It's a pretty big commitment by them. I was advised, that's just in there. And it did not seem to be a problem to have that removed or have that changed to something more amenable to us, that we'll have much more notice and be able to cure whatever issues there may be, as opposed to 30-day, it would be really bad if we're a year and a half into the project and they send us a letter and they say we're closing this thing in 30 days. Part of the issue, and the reason that concerned me, is if they terminate the project, we still have to pay for everything. Mm-hmm. And so any reimbursement that we have received, we have to pay them back. And so I didn't want them to be able to, that's a really big power imbalance that we didn't necessarily want to take on. Obviously, we did the grant to be able to provide people of KC with the library, but also to save the county money. And we appreciate the library going after that, and I wanted to make sure that we were protected, that the library was protected and Johnson County was protected. And so we're working on some wording that will change that, provided that the commissioners agree to it. That's partially why I want to have the meeting, to advise you. Lindsay already knows all this, but to advise the commissioners and allow them to give me the blessing to continue to negotiate and to get those things figured out. I think everything else we talked about are things that we've discussed. There was one discussion, there was one issue that I talked to Lindsay about on the abstract, or sorry, the attachment A that talks about what the obligation for the county could be, which is $795,000. The budgeted amount was $500,000 for the county. And so we just want to make sure that we're talking about that and everybody's aware.
So on that note, that original amount is from the Plan 1 plans. We're not going with that.
Okay.
God willing. I mean, please, this is an ask, God, to please let what we have appropriated be sufficient with the current plans that we've gone with. It very clearly states in here that this is unsecured funding. We were just getting the application submitted, so this was in June. And there's been so many changes since then. So... do you have anything to add to that?
No.
Go ahead, Ty.
So, I understand that completely. And when I talked to Lindsay, I said, look, we just need, when we're talking about different dollar amounts, we need to obviously have that discussion. And so, so that was Project A? Is that what you told me, Plan A?
Plan One Architects. Plan One.
What's the new plan?
We've worked with Jeff Albright.
Okay.
And got a new, very, it's completely, it meets all the boxes that the Plan One Architect did, but it is a much more sustainable, amount.
So they amended the amount in this, but nothing else was updated. So they amended the total amount that we were awarded
to follow with Jeff's. The new plan.
Okay. Because originally it was over...
It was over three million.
But nothing else had been updated to correspond to that. So.
Right.
Yep.
All right.
And you guys kind of gave us that plan.
We did. Yep.
Because we talked about Lauren endorsement stuff. So we've seen that.
You have. And where we need to get moving right now is we need to get that plan. We need to get the blueprints done and get that certified through the state so we can get some bids open.
So we talked about the RFP a little bit, and one thing that I suggested that she add to it, because it is a federal contract, there's certain things that are required. Because it's COVID funding, there are certain, anyone that gets hired for the contract has to meet certain obligations and be willing to, be an equal opportunity employer and those sorts of things, which most people are, just as a matter of course. However, the federal government has a way of wanting to make sure that's part of it. And so What I wanted Lindsay to do was put those advisements in the RFP just so that people know, if you are bidding on this, your expectation is this. Just
you have a stock example of what you want put in there?
It's in the grant, actually, the wording specifically in the grant.
Okay.
And that's what we talked about.
Okay.
And I can talk some more about that afterwards. But
sure.
The reason I want to do that is just from a standpoint for the county, then that means that we are full disclosure to people and saying, look, if you're going to be awarded this contract and be paid this money, you are subject to these same obligations.
Yeah.
Because we have to meet those.
Yep.
So. And so that was, as far as the RFP goes, the substance of it was fine. We talked a little bit about beefing up a little more exactly what they're going to do, and maybe do some bullet points that talk about those things, and then have those obligations. And I think Lindsay's on that, and I can help her work on that a little bit too. So, but other than that, I just had brought up, I had a discussion with, I think it was Commissioner Monty, and just said, hey, we'll talk about it at the meeting, just so everybody's on the same
page.
And also so the public is aware, and that's a beneficial thing. We have the treasurer here because obviously we're going to have to bankroll that amount and know that we can do that. We know that payment will come from the state on a 30 to 45 day kind of lag period. And so hopefully the money we have set aside will cover that for the most part, but it's just having those discussions so everybody's aware of it and knows about it. And so that's kind of what we're, the purpose of the meeting. You do anything wrong, you're in trouble. That's not what it's
about. I don't feel that way.
Good.
Yeah. So I know what I've done.
Madam Treasurer, can you speak to just a little bit about just how your office is going to have to move money as this, as the draws go out and then we send those down to the state to get reimbursed? Just your thoughts on how we'll handle this so that it works.
Excuse me. Mr. Chairman, it's going to be vital that we have very good communication from either whoever's overseeing the bill, the contractor, whoever, to know the amount that's being spent at what levels. Because majority of my funds are out in being invested, and I need to know the timeline so that when I know that there's going to be a big payment coming in, that those funds are going to be held and not be reinvested back out, because if I have to pull out of reserves, that costs us. That we take big penalties anytime I have to pull, which I've never had to do. So communication is going to be huge.
So does that also pertain to the $500,000 that we have set aside? Is there a lag there?
With that money, again, you know, we pay our bills twice a month, so it's just as when you can get those invoices in when you want to use those dollars.
Sure.
But it'll be a question of how between the treasurer's office and the clerk's office that the account that we'll spend out of and then reimburse as those draws come in from the state, how that we'll handle that satisfies what the accounting software, what the auditors want to see, and also then, as the treasurer pointed out, allows her to make sure that she's got enough cash sitting there that if, let's say, you've got a $750,000 draw, that then she's waiting for 30 or 45 days to get reimbursed by the state, that she doesn't overdraw the county's checkbook.
Yeah.
So.
Makes sense. Thank you.
And I do think, as I've visited with Tucker and also the other commissioners, about just how critical it is that the project manager that works independent of the contractor and reports directly to the library and then works with the treasurer and the clerk's office to get those bills. And that's that clear communication of, hey, next month we're going to be paying for this, this, and this, so you should be prepared. Because what we discovered in the past, when we allowed the architect to do that, we ended up with all the problems that we had at the CJC. Punch list items that weren't completed, cost overruns, installation of materials and hardware that was basically obsolete when it went in. So when it became time to replace it, there were no parts. And so just avoiding that problem We want to have a beautiful library down there, but it does not need 40-foot ceilings and a waterfall and a fire feature out front. It needs to be a practical, quiet place that meets all the requirements that you put into your grant, like that space for community telehealth and other things. But also, as the community grows, ages, and changes down there, that the needs can be met by the future library board as they're providing their services.
Our focus with this project has been on sustainability and the future of the county from start. So,
and avoiding change.
Change orders.
Yes, we'll change orders.
Yeah.
Those were bad.
You know, I guess I would just also like to throw this out in the public. If anybody has been through big projects like that, if they have any hindsight clarity, we asked Mr. Kozacek. We'd love to hear it. We have some from the current library, but we don't want to repeat somebody else's mistakes.
Architects get paid by commission. Just...
Yeah.
By percentage.
Yeah.
So they have the most elaborate buildings ever.
Yeah. We saw that.
I attended the library meeting last week, and we talked about the project manager and how important that is to be separated from the contractor.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And at this point, we've had some discussion with David Eads, and he was part of this application and things, so... I assume we'll have more communication as things roll along.
Good.
So.
Do we have a timeline on getting bids sent out? Because we had to be breaking ground by July 1. So.
Right. As it stands, that's why I want the RFP to get done and published, because we have to have the certified plans before we can do that. Mm-hmm. And that can take anywhere from 45 to 90 days. So, waiting on the application kind of delayed things, so, as we can all expect.
Well, when federal funds are involved, it's always the hurry up and wait.
It is, yes.
And one of the questions that Ms. Bellevue had is, because it does not define what project construction beginning actually means, I interpret that as dirt work beginning. I didn't get that question asked of the Attorney General, but I'll clarify that so that we're aware.
Did you ask it?
I did ask the rep with the State Library, and she said, yeah, if there's a piece of equipment on the ground or some of the folks that have received this grant funding are doing updates or expansions to current buildings, she said it's even replacing a doorknob or just something. Something has to be, you know.
Physically.
Yeah.
So that's pretty easy.
Shovel full of dirt or something moved, so, yeah.
Is the geotech work done yet?
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. Would you like to see it? I actually brought that.
Yeah, even if you just want to leave a copy or...
Sure, you can have this copy.
And I just... In watching the problems that the fire district has had just up the hill because of a bentonite void, which has caused problems with their building. And then you go across the parking lot where the ambulance barn is there, and they've had no issues whatsoever. So just... really making sure that that was good geotech work and that we're comfortable that, and yeah, that where the nice thing is where we're at, it's an area that was built on before. There was a house there that Roden Bridge removed for you, so I'm so glad that hopefully this came back with a good report.
It did. Nothing totally out of the normal expected other than hard ground.
That's a good thing.
It is. Mr. Albright was acting as a consultant somewhat at that point. Has he had a chance to...
He deferred to... We really need to hire, you know, an architect and an engineer to look at it thoroughly and let us know
that.
Exactly how that might impact the plan and the different options as far as a foundation.
So the water tables... also need to be looked at and can,
And I did give a copy of that to David Eads as well, and he's got a copy of the Black Tooth rendering.
Can we hang anything under this? Or
yeah, absolutely. Okay. Nope,
we'll
that's
add
mine.
This to our library file.
Very good. Any other questions? So we'll wait for the...
As long as I'm authorized to finalize the negotiation with the agreement, I can do that this week, and we should hopefully get it signed.
Okay. That'd be great.
And nothing that I brought up to the Attorney General's office seemed to be a problem. I hope there's not an issue with communication between the Wyoming State Library and the Attorney General. I don't think there is. It was a unique situation where I reached out to the attorney, and then Bellevue reached out to the Wyoming State Library, and they both said, well, contact us first. So it was kind of a unique situation, but I think we'll get it sorted out. As long as I can work on the few things that I have issue with, then we should be good to go here by the end of the week.
All right.
Well, we should be.
I'd like to have that finalized before we publish that RFP. So yeah. We'll wait. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, guys. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Have a good day. I appreciate your time.
Looking forward to another library.
It should be good for everybody. Thank you.
All right, we've got a couple catering permits on the agenda. The first we need to approve retroactively. This was Cowboy Saloon for the Fairgrounds Foundation fundraiser that was on Saturday. And then it looks like Cowboy Saloon also is catering the FFA Foundation, their fundraiser, the Oyster Ball, on 2/22 at the Fairgrounds. So, Commissioners, what's your pleasure?
Everything's paid?
Yes.
Move to approve the catering permits.
Would you entertain a friendly motion to you move to retroactively approve the
yes
the first and then approve the second?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I'll second that motion.
There is a motion and a second to retroactively approve the catering permit for the Fairgrounds Foundation and also approve catering permit for the Buffalo FFA Foundation. Any discussion?
Just one question.
Yes.
What happens if someone's not here to sign a retroactive or sign this catering permit? I know this has been done in the past. I just wonder if this is not necessarily a liability to the county, but could be to a caterer.
That is a great question. Commissioner, any one of the commissioners can sign those. So if the chair or the vice chair isn't here, we've got to get a commissioner to sign that so that it is a legal transfer of that license to that new venue. It behooves the businesses to get these in early. We realize that sometimes, especially if it's for a funeral or other things, sometimes that they can fall between meetings and it gets difficult, but I think between the clerk's office, which has been very amenable to working with the various caterers in town, we really work to get these available to people and not inhibit their, whether it's a private event or an event that raises money for something. We try our best to get them done.
I think we just need to encourage the liquor dealers to get these in a timely manner.
Yes.
If something happens, if not one of us to sign it, that's going to kind of put them in a difficult situation. So.
Absolutely. I remember last year we had an incident where a liquor dealer from KC was going to cater an event at the fairgrounds. The highway was closed and she couldn't get up here. They found another caterer up here, so we really, 11th hour, but those don't always happen.
Yeah, those kind of
9 minutes of sports floor.
We got it done. But yeah, Mr. Commissioner, you were absolutely right. It pays off. Do your homework early.
Yeah.
All right. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. The next item on our agenda is vouchers. So you have that request. And a report looks like $187,604.79. Commissioners, were there any vouchers that you wanted to pull from the report for further discussion?
No.
I have none.
Would anyone like to make a motion to pay the bills?
I move that we pay the bills for the set amount of $187,604.79.
There is a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Commissioners, I do have one request before we open it up for public comment. I'd like permission to draft a letter to the Wyoming Congressional Delegation alerting them to an issue that we've run into with our recovery efforts from the House Draw Fire. Because of executive orders that were signed in the revision of money that was tied with the Inflation Reduction Act, 18 landowners in Johnson County who had enrolled in a grazing deferral program in the amount of $2 million, that funding is now gone, as well as EQIP, which is emergency dollars that the Bureau of Land Management was going to make available to the Johnson County Weed and Pest for aerial spraying of invasive weeds over BLM property. So basically, as Allen's got his crews out there spraying, we got an agreement the BLM was going to pay for it so that they could continue to spray on BLM, and then you run back into the deeded as you go through the patchwork out there. The BLM no longer has that funding available. It has been rescinded. So I ask your permission to ask congressional action to get those funds restored so we can help the ranchers impacted by the House Draw Fire.
So you go ahead.
Is that a motion to draft a letter to the congressional delegation?
There's a motion to draft a letter to the congressional delegation.
All right. Is there a second?
A strong letter. I'll second.
Strong word. There is a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you for that. Madam Clerk, did you have additional business you needed us to transact?
I didn't.
Mr. Ruby, anything from the County Attorney's Office?
Just to clarify, I have authorization to move forward on this grant, right?
You do, Mr. Ruby.
That's what I assumed, but I just want to make sure.
Ms. Kenyon, anything from your side of the house?
No, sir, I don't have anything.
Do you want to provide a quick update on the little project that you're working on?
Oh, yeah, sure. I've been going through some archives of resolutions. The oldest one I found so far is from 1925. I also didn't know they had Excel spreadsheets in 1920s and 30s. That's pretty, really cool. So I'm having fun going through and archiving them. I did some research on YouTube for some curators and museums, and they recommended to store the papers flat and in plastic clear sheets. So that's what I'm doing. I'm getting some binders coming, and then we'll probably give them back to the clerk's office for safety in the vault.
These were some pretty interesting resolutions that were folded up and just in a box in one of the vaults. At one point, the commissioners approved an adoption, and I believe that was in like 1934. So
yeah.
Some pretty interesting historical. I encourage you guys to stop and look at what she's going through and rolling them out and getting them organized by date. And
yeah, I'm definitely learning a lot of history of the commissioners. And it's also interesting, too, there's lots of letters from correspondence to companies and things, so it's kind of fun to see what was on the mind and on the docket and whatever all the commissioners and the people were handling alongside with the resolutions, all the dates and everything. There's even a poor farm here where the people with lower means could go and grow their own food, and it's really cool.
Yeah, back when this is still the courtroom, district court cell here, a lot of times when we're having a trial, I'd sit back there waiting to testify. They had the old coroner's records here, going back in the 1900s, you know, a long time ago. And it was
pretty interesting to read.
So. I did find the National Historic Registry for this building, and it was really interesting to read that back in the day they heated it with wood stoves and coal stoves, and it's really interesting. The Italian structure.
How did the project get started? Did you just run on a box of old stuff? And
Your girls were cleaning their office, and they said that this box is commissioner stuff, and so I started going through it, and I lucked out. I won the lottery.
Love history.
All right. If there is no additional business for the commissioners to transact, we would open it up for public comment. Jerry, please come forward and stay right there.
So I have a hard time hearing, as I've said many times. Electronically, I can hear better because it goes into the hearing aid. Would you mind if I have something and set it like Kate's deal in there to listen?
We're happy to help in any way we can.
Thank you. That's it for me.
I think it'd be beneficial if we just turn on that microphone, ask people to speak into it too. Yeah. Someone soft spoken, I have trouble hearing them. So,
what happens for me is, like, I can hear you right now because I can see you. People get sitting here,
yeah,
and I can't see because I guess I lip read along with everything else, yeah, trying to understand. So this seems to help. Thank you.
All right. Any additional public comment?
I just wanted to say thank you, Bill, for your extra effort to help ranchers. Regarding the house draw fires, you know, very much impacted our family. So I appreciate you jumping right on that and taking every step that you can to help us.
Well, thank you. It's very important, and we know it's going to be a long recovery. We're hopeful that the legislature realizes the importance of, you know, they had no issue appropriating monies that were grants to restore an irrigation tunnel that failed. Why they would ask ranchers in Johnson County to take out a first position loan to try to spray weeds or rebuild fence. And there was actually at one point an effort to prohibit any of those funds from being used for private fences, which is really unfortunate because that was one of the biggest losses. So I hope that cooler, calmer heads down there will prevail and we can help our community rebuild.
Well, we appreciate it.
All right, if there's no further business, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
This audio was brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbor. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.